Good to be here this evening. It's always kind of a question mark when I come forward and come up here and turn around. There's more than what I thought. We're here, and that's a good thing. Glad you're here tonight that we could worship God together. Tonight, I'd like for us to talk about a few things. I'd like to, if you feel like making a comment or ask a question or have a scripture or whatever, feel free to speak up, and we'll approach this more like a class and see how that goes. If it goes, then that's great. I want to talk about, I want to mention a statement. You tell me where it is in the Bible. Well, how could I unless someone guides me? Ethiopian eunuch, in what book of the Bible? Acts chapter 8. Okay. And what? Isaiah 53? Well, he was reading that, wasn't he? Okay. And okay. That's an interesting passage. Interesting to me because here's the Ethiopian who demonstrated a lot of openness, a lot of humility in asking that question, how could I unless someone guides me? And it occurs to me that sometimes as we get more and more familiar with the Scripture and as we have been Christians a longer period of time, that's not maybe a question that we ask as much as we ought to, because we drift away from the idea of needing guidance to the idea of thinking we've already got it figured out. So maybe we need to reevaluate and see, you know, we need God's guidance as well as he did. So let's think in those terms. Sometimes recently I've been hearkening back to the good old days. And I think it's interesting how things change. Sometimes over a period of years, sometimes almost overnight, things change. Things aren't the way they used to be. I remember when we were, when our children were young and we would plan a vacation. Half the fun of that plan was dragging out the big old map, sitting it on the table, and then seeing, okay, we're going to take this road over to here, and then we're going to go up to here and over to there. And we like that idea. Now, if you stop at a gas station, you probably can't even find a map. You know, everybody's got their cell phone, and you want to go someplace, you tell Siri, hey, show me how to get here. And on your car, it might have a map and instructions, and if you just plan it just right, they'll tell you where to turn. Turn here. And if you don't turn here, they'll tell you to turn around and go back and do it. You know, so you don't really need to learn how to read a map. But we do need guidance, even if we have the help of a telephone. We still need guidance in a spiritual sense. It's important. It's an important part of our training as individuals. If we want to succeed, we need to be willing to listen to instructions. And where do our instructions come from? The Bible. The Bible is God's word. It tells us how to live. Proverbs 11, verse 14 says, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. And nothing wrong with putting our minds together. Nothing wrong with getting input from others. It's a very important idea in the world in general. But when it comes to being a Christian, we need guidance, the guidance of God's Word. And so if we want to reach our destination and succeed and understand God's plan, we kind of need to be like the Ethiopian who said, well, how can I unless someone guides me? How can I? If we don't have guidance, what are some of the results? If you don't gather information, if you don't seek guidance, how does that affect your life? Get lost, stumble and fall. Success is pretty difficult because most of most of the time we fail before we succeed, you know. But if you listen to somebody who's done it before, you might succeed the first time. So yeah, we need to find the guidance. So I'm going to mention three tendencies tonight which make guidance essential. And if we get through with those, I can go on to the next point. But three tendencies of man. The first is we tend to stray away from God. It's a tendency. It's kind of like anything else in life. To keep something going at a level 10 perfect takes a lot of effort, but the tendency is to back off. You're doing real good in your daily Bible study. What happens? You begin to think, well, this is not so bad, and you might begin to pull back. You want to be close to God. The tendency is to stray from Him. And so let's look at the scriptures here in a moment, and we'll see that that's a true tendency of human beings. And if we're aware of that tendency, we might be able to take some steps to correct the problem. One thing we want to notice is that we tend to have a spiritual attention deficit disorder. You know, you have attention deficit became popular a few years ago to explain some things. I don't always, you know, psychology always goes in circles, and this is real hip right now, and then later it'll be something else, and then something else. But it was really a big thing, you know, attention deficit. That explains a lot about my child or about me. It can become almost an excuse for not succeeding. But there is a real thing that has that name attached to it. But spiritually, we can have the same problem, and that is instead of focusing properly, we're distracted. And that causes us to stray from the mark. If you ever tried to maybe mow a straight line in your yard or plow a straight row in your garden, if it's a big one, if you take your eyes off of the mark and then look back, you'll find that you're going like this, back and forth. If you set a focal point into the future, it might be in the neighbor's yard somewhere. Maybe they have a red mailbox, and you're driving and you say, I'm just going to keep my eyes on that. And you get right to the end, you turn around, and your row is straight because you had a focus. Attention deficit, you're driving along, oh, isn't that nice over there? Look at over there, you know. And you might get the yard mowed, but it might take a little longer. You just went a lot of different directions. So let's look at a few scriptures. Isaiah 53. What animal do you think we're compared to in scripture the most? Sheep. What do you know about sheep? They have a tendency to stray. They need a shepherd. What about their eyesight? Pretty good? No, I think they have very good eyes. Maybe it's all that wool covering them. I don't know, but they don't seem to have good eyesight. So Isaiah says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. We're like sheep. We stray from the Lord. In 1 Peter 2:25, Peter said, for you were continually straying like sheep. That's before they found guidance. You were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your soul. Didn't that describe what it means to be lost? We usually think of, here's saved over here, here's lost over here. And these people over here are just kind of sitting there in their lost condition, in the darkness, not really doing anything, not really trying anything, they're just over there lost. But if you were to plot their graph of their life, it would be like this, every which way. They're continually straying like sheep. First after one thing, then after another, maybe trying to find fulfillment. maybe to find meaning in life. They're not finding it out there. They're in the darkness. They're straying like sheep. And when you become a Christian, or you come back to Christ, you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your soul. You put that with Psalm 23, and that's pretty powerful. The Lord is our shepherd, and he is there not only to provide nourishment and guidance, but also protection. So I like that passage. What is Satan's job? We're trying to follow the Lord. He's trying to lead us astray. Deceive us. He's actually out there trying to get our attention. So we're trying to go the path. We're set our eyes on the goal. We're trying to make it there. And Satan is over here waving his arms. Wait a minute. Look over here and get our attention. Because he knows that we have a tendency to stray. We have a tendency to stray. In 1 John chapter 2, John said, "Do not love the world. If anyone loves the Father, loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And then he tells us, what is in the world? All that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. These are Satan's enticements. These are the things that Satan puts out there to get us to stray from the path. So we're focused on Christ. We're trying to follow him. And these things are out there flashing like great big neon lights. And, you know, Satan knows the best one to put right in your path. Maybe just a little bit off the path. Because, I mean, if it was way over there, in the back 40 somewhere, you wouldn't even see it. Right there along your path somewhere, just a little bit of straying off the mark, and he'll get your attention. But if you stray off the mark a little bit, long enough, how far away will you be? You ever try that sometime? Just say, okay, I'm gonna draw a straight line. Maybe you're a carpenter or whatever, and you're trying to saw a straight line, or you're trying to build something, and you want to make the building straight, and you're just off a little bit at one end. What's it like at the other end? Way off. You can't say, well, it ain't far from plumb, it ain't far from being square, it'll work out. And then you end up with these buildings like that building they have over in Europe somewhere that's kind of leaning sideways or built on a bad foundation. You've got to build, and you've got to be precise. And in the religious world, how important is precision to most people in the religious world? To do things the way God wants us to do things. How important is that? Not very important. Oh, I don't think God would mind if we accompanied our singing with instruments of music. I mean, what's the big deal? We still love the Lord, and we're still worshiping God, and Jesus is foremost in our thinking, so to speak. What does it matter if we mess up a little here or go a little bit off over there? What matters is that a little departure ends up in a big departure. And if it has to do with our attitude toward the Scriptures, what happens is that the fundamental attitude which says, I can add to or take away from God's Word, can take us in all kinds of direction. It's a slippery slope. And once you've taken that first step, the next thing you know, you're miles away from the pattern that God has set for us in the Bible. So keep that in mind. Satan is there to try to allure us. You think Satan knows our weakness? I think so. He tried everything he could on Jesus. Sometimes he'll combine the three, but he'll get us at our weak point. He'll just get us when we're discouraged and cause us just to step away. Where does departure come from first? In the life or in the mind? In the mind. Maybe we're not, maybe we haven't taken an actual step in the wrong direction yet. Maybe we've just thought about it. Maybe we've just kind of slacked off in our thinking a little bit. Well, what that leads to is eventually taking a step away. So out of the heart come the issues of life. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So we really have to protect our hearts. And Satan is there to distract us. And that's why we need a focus. Can you think of any verses in the Bible that teach us to keep your focus fixed? There's probably about 100 of them. Ton of them. What verse in the Bible do you think of when you're thinking of, I need to keep my mind on the right thing? I need to keep my heart on the right thing. Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? Well, the church, sometimes the words are used interchangeably. The rule of God, some might say. If you're seeking first the rule of God, that puts you in the church and that makes you a member of the body of Christ. So if you're going to seek it first in your life, that will give you a focus. Does Christ and his kingdom, and he also mentions righteousness, if that comes first, where does everything else fall? Second Peter 1:20-21. Okay, that's a good passage. Every scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's not that these writers who wrote it came up with their own thoughts or that God told them what to say and then they put it in their own words. These men were carried along by the Holy Spirit to speak from God, which means if you're looking for guidance, how could you overlook the Bible? If you love me, keep my commandments. Right. Colleen? Hebrews 12:1-2. Who is the center of our focus in that passage? Jesus. We've been talking about all the heroes of faith in chapter 11, but for some reason they didn't get Jesus in chapter 11. He's in chapter 12. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Fix your eyes on Jesus. We're not talking about literally because we can't see him literally. But the more you read and study the Bible, the more time you spend with him and his word, the more you get a real image of who he is. And that gives you this sense of purpose. Everything is about him. I want to be like him in word, thought, and deed. I want to follow what he has taught in his word. And that focus, very important. If you want, you know, if you're going to heaven, how do you get there? Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're coming to Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And almost nobody or no one can come to the Father but by me. There's only one way, that's Jesus. And that's kind of important because we're not just talking in sort of a theoretical sense of, well, I want to be like Jesus, but we don't have any concept in our mind. What does that mean? What does that mean to be like Jesus? It's like when we're talking about our duty to love God and to love one another, as we have been doing on Sunday morning. It's all kind of theoretical, you know, a big thing out here, but we don't really, what are the specifics? And then we get into these various traits, patience, kindness, And this morning, you're not provoked. You're not arrogant. You're not self-seeking. All of these. These are specifics about love. Well, we're following Jesus. We got to get the specifics of who Christ is and who he was. Put those two together for a moment. 1 John says, God is love. The scripture says in John 14, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Hebrews talks about Jesus as the exact representation of the Father. The Father is love. These qualities we're talking about on Sunday morning show us what Jesus was like. He was not provoked. He was not arrogant. He was not braggadocious. He was not envious or jealous. He is patient and kind. And you see that in his life, don't you? And so when we say, I want to be like Jesus, I want to be like him, then the specifics come to mind as you read and study his word, especially as you get into the Gospels. Why not as you think about Jesus living in this life as a man, more than a man, and you see how he related to people. You see what was important to him. That helps us to get a handle on what we want to be, the direction we want to take in our life. And so every day you have choices. Today I think I'm going to be selfish. Is that staying on the right path? Is that following Jesus? Is that straying from him? I got this little decision I want. I think I'm going to be selfish about it. Or I think I'm going to do this or that. What would Jesus do becomes the key to living a life that is headed the right direction. Other verses? Jim? Okay, the gospel armor in Ephesians 6, okay, it's meant to be worn, right? And the sword of the Spirit, you say, well, I'm going to carry the sword, but I'm not going to wear the breastplate of righteousness. You've got to carry it all, right? So the sword of the Spirit, and Jim made a good point here, you're trying to head the right direction, you need to have it with you. You need to take it up, not just put it in your back pocket. You need to carry it. Use it. Stand. Stand firm. Stand firm in the gospel. So in a matter of speaking, we're headed the right direction. But as we're headed that direction, we're standing firm. That does not mean that we stop. The Christian walk does not stop. But wait a minute, it says stand firm. Well, that's a figurative expression that says as we're moving forward, we're standing for Jesus. It's not saying we're standing for Jesus, then we come to a stop. No, you're standing firm, moving forward. Actually, as you're moving forward is when you're also deflecting the fiery darts of the evil one. By moving forward. When you stop, you become more defenseless. And you keep that momentum going. Yes. Walking is action moving forward. Have you ever, it's kind of off the subject a little bit, have you ever tried to walk on a, I don't do it anymore, but used to maybe walk on a curb or if they had a balance beam, how would you like to walk on that? I would tell you right now, I might not even pass the sobriety test sometime, you know, just back and forth, you know. But, you know, it's much easier, isn't it, if you keep moving than if you stop. Maybe you're crossing a river, the stones that are there, and you got to get across the other side. So you stop on one, regain your balance, stop on another, you're going to get wet. But if you just go boom, 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 you're going to be a lot more likely to make it. Don't try it. Don't blame me if you fail. But But the whole point is, keep moving forward as you stand firm. Get that sense of direction. Jesus said something about this in relationship to our giving. He said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. One key to avoiding the straying tendency that we have is to go ahead and send our treasure on ahead. Hebrews talks about a hope that is laid up in heaven, beyond the veil, where Christ is. He's our forerunner. So we've already got something there. We're headed home. It's not as though we're going to a place that we're not really sure we want to be there or not. This is going home. This is where our heart is. And you always, people say follow your heart. Make sure your heart's in the right place. Your heart's in heaven. Okay? Anybody else? Colossians 3. If you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. He says, set your mind on things above, not on things that are below, on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that's a tough verse, but it's a good one. Keep seeking things above. He's been talking about if you've been raised up with Christ. That's a reference to baptism. I know we're thinking in terms of figurative here, in the sense of that sort, but read Colossians 2, verse 12, and where it talks about baptism. It's raised up with Him. Is a description of baptism. If you've been raised up with Him and your sins have been forgiven, now your heart should be in heaven. Now keep seeking. When you were baptized, you were seeking things above. Now that you're there, keep seeking things above, not things on the earth. You know, there are literally so many hundreds and thousands of things that vie for our attention on almost a daily basis. That things that sometimes are not really necessarily bad or evil in themselves, but they just call us our attention. And you have to do things. I mean, you have to take care of your family. You have to have a job. You have to do all kinds of things like that, the normal things. But what he's talking about here, don't let those become your primary attention. Keep your focus on things above, where Christ is. You know, Rod mentioned in his singing the other night that his favorite song still is, "This World Is Not My Home." Is that right? Well, is it? No. Sometimes we get attached to it pretty much, but it's not our home, and so we're just passing through, so we need to keep our mind on things above. Hebrews 12, Colleen mentioned that a minute ago. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and run the race. Lay aside the encumbrances of sin and keep your eyes going forward. Jesus said, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back, what does it say about him? Excuse me. Not fit for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Exactly. Luke 9:62. So you have this, the idea, we talked about a mower or something like that, but a plow is a good idea here. Especially if you have a plow that's being pulled by some horses or mules, it takes a little effort to keep those rows straight. And so you got to keep moving forward. And you look back, and what happens? You're going to go one way or the other. So if you want to be a part of God's kingdom, you got to keep your heart and your mind and your thoughts on those things above. Otherwise, you're going to stray. It's the tendency of man to stray. So there has to be an active, continuous, constant effort to stay on the right path. And course corrections have to be made on a daily basis. You begin examining yourself, you study the Word of God, and here's God giving you in His Word, here's something I need to think about, and I need to get back on the right course. So backward, back and forth, back and forth. You're going the right direction with the help of the Lord. Well, those are some good passages. But again, we've never, as human beings, we've never stayed true to the path for very long. Think of the history of man. How long did it take Adam and Eve to mess up? I don't know how long it was, but it didn't seem like it was very long, you know. And you look at Genesis 6. Not very many generations between Adam and Eve and Noah. I mean, they lived a long, long time, but it hadn't been that many generations to where the world became so wicked that God was regretting that He had made man, that the thoughts of their hearts were evil continually. We tend to stray. The book of Judges can be outlined in a cycle of the nation would fall away from God, they'd be punished by God, they'd be delivered by God, they'd be faithful to God, then they fall away from God again, just back and forth and back and forth. That was the history of the period of the judges. I think that's also the case throughout the history of Israel. You read through the kings and you get an impression that these people were never righteous for very long. The northern kingdom especially, they didn't have any good kings. They might have some good people, but not any good kings. Southern kingdom had some good kings, but they all strayed. They strayed away from the path. And that's a great lesson for us. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many are those, He says, who enter through it. And the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Matthew 7. Now, sometimes we think about that only at the entrance point. We say, and I draw pictures like that. You have a big broad path over here. That's going the wrong direction. Here's a narrow. It's a narrow gate. But getting into the kingdom, yeah, it's a narrow gate. But once you get into the kingdom, does it suddenly become broad? It's still a narrow path. It's a narrow path from the time you obey the gospel to the time that you pass from this life or the time that the Lord comes. It's narrow all the way. It's as narrow as Christ is narrow. It's as narrow as truth is narrow. Now, you might say, I think I need less restriction. I want to have a broader path. Well, where does it go? It doesn't go where we want to go. So that's the first thing we want to remember, is that we have a tendency to stray. We may talk about this again next week. We'll see. Give me some thoughts if you can. But we also have a tendency to be deceived. And I want us to talk about that next time. We don't think that we are, but we have a tendency to go that direction. Tonight, as we think about these thoughts, we'll be singing a song of invitation. And just for the purpose of giving opportunity, if you want prayers, we want to do that. Or if there's an opportunity for anyone who has not obeyed the gospel and is ready, may do that as well. As we stand and as we sing, we'd ask you to come.